when I'm in awesome wonder. Consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, or oh, take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how
good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday, beautiful morning. Here in Tennessee, boy, it is awful cold here. We have frost on our vehicles. I pray everybody's doing well across the world. You know, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. We are definitely in some trying times, huh? If it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't be able to make it, huh? I tell you what, Brad, I've seen a lot this week of the deception rolling in through this New Age Jesus they're trying to bring forth. They're painting him totally different than the way that our Lord is. And I'm really thankful now that we have had the time that we've had to be able to research freely and to be able to really find some truth out there, because it is definitely being flooded now with AI and a false representation. of who our real Jesus is. And this is going to be our way of finishing our mission in the earth, is revealing to mankind who the real Jesus is. This is where we're going to have to be the church. You know, like we have Ardina and Bruce on here this morning from Canada, and we see it with them. You know, they told us the other day on the prayer call that whenever they go places, you know, they are sharing the gospel. This is how we have to be. We have to be the light in the world. And when the opportunity comes forth for you to share truth, you know, we've learned we're having to withhold our tongue in this hour. We're having to restrain and pull back because of the time we're in and the dangers that we're in of people turning you in, and, you know, the fact that the ark door is closed, meaning the majority of the people, if not all, have made up their mind at this point about what they're looking at and who they're believing, whether it's the image of the beast or they believe in the word of God. And if they believe the word of God, it is causing them to be separated from everybody. They are castaways. They are rejected by society. And we're seeing this everywhere. This is not just in one place. So it is what it is at this point. And it's the price that the Christians are paying, because I just posted this morning on Patreon an article where the Mormons, because I was just made aware yesterday that the Mormons are really pushing technology. They're really pushing the med bed. So I looked it up, and sure enough, you know, now they have got these people on there saying that the med bed, that Jesus is telling them that the med beds are from him, you know. And I am glad that there is a remnant that realizes God does not need technology. Why would Jesus tell you that? I mean, oh yeah, I want you to lay in a bed like a coffin. And I want you to, you know, take the jab so you can have that in you to be working with the light therapy they're going to be using. No, thank you. God ain't nowhere in this mess. And the real church is having to take a stand. And this is where I believe this ministry comes in. Because Garden of Eden Ministries, you know, I'm so thankful that God started this, because it is truly an organic ministry. You think about the pastor, the head of the ship here. He is an organic man. He is a mountain man, what I call the mountain man, that really partners with the earth. You know, he is a mountain man. He is an organic pastor. He lives it and he walks it. He puts his temple first. You know, he uses the herbs of the earth, and he uses, like when he's out in the field, he loves finding mushrooms and plants that he's researching to find out what we can eat, you see. So when God switched us over to Garden of Eden Ministries, and then you consider what it is that we do as watchmen here, you know, we are helping the bride keep their dress white. How is the only way to keep her dress white? The only way is through being organic. You know, this is why our first semester in Bible colleges, we're going to use for our textbooks my two books, the garden books. The first one is called Organic Christianity, Going Back to the Garden. And we're going to delve into this to find out who we really are, purging ourselves of religion and, you know, all of the kundalini things that were in the church and all of that stuff. We're going from basics. We are starting from basics, and we're going to ask God to just clean us organically, you know. And I'll probably take the first students who sign up through the 40-day fast. It will probably only be for those students this coming year, because they want to go to the next level, and that's what we're going to have to do, you know. But that's going to be part of our training, our identity, and the warfare, you know, is this organic Christianity. So you think about how God, when I came here to the land, and I had been struggling for 6 months. All of you guys that were with me know I was struggling for 6 months. Where am I going to live? Where am I going to live? I came out here and I looked at this land and it was nothing but forest. You know, I couldn't see nothing. I could see a little glimmering piece of a house. The guy told me the house is so bad, ma'am, you're going to have to tear it down. That's why it was so cheap. So I looked at it and I was like, oh, I wish I could see more of it, you know, because you just don't know. And so I left there. No, I was standing there looking at it and the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is your Garden of Eden. I said, what? He said, I'm going to give you the Garden of Eden. I said, what? And then I left there, drove to the next town. And a woman called me and said, I was in prayer, and the Lord told me to tell you that he is going to give you the Garden of Eden. So I called this man back and said, I'll take it. Well, then here comes Dennis, Mr. Mountain Man, who takes off work, comes down here from Missouri for a week just because, you know, he had been with me. You know, for years, and I saw him at the Branson, where I met him in person, the Branson conference that we had, and that was a couple of years before, but I mean, the only time we ever talked up to this point was just in our prayer meetings, you know, and when I would call him about land or something like that. But when I found this land, I called him, I said, Dennis, you have got to come see this land. It has a pond on it and everything. And so he came down to help me clean the house out because my lungs couldn't take it because of all the mold and stuff. You know, the house had been empty for 30 years. But with Dennis's help, you know, he went in there, mowed it down. You know, he really helped a lot, you know, because he got that stuff out of the house. But then we ended up talking and ended up getting married. And here we are, you know, 2.5 years later. God shuts down We Are the Bride Ministries and brings up Garden of Eden Ministries. You just can't make it up. A pastor that's organic. I wrote the two books back in 2015, Organic Christianity, Back to the Garden, and Clarion Call to Unity and the Bride of Christ. You know, the twin books. I mean, you just can't make it up. So the point is, we are going into 2025, church, and we're going in the garden. And I'm saying this prophetically. We're going in the garden because the garden is where we're going to find our safety. The garden is the protection. It is that being with Jesus. You know, the presence, the fellowship in the garden. And the storms may rage, but don't we have two angels at the door of the garden? Yes. You know, that's going to be fighting our battles. We're not going to fight these worldly battles. We're not going to get involved in social media and social justice and all that. because that's what the beast wants, is people to be activated to go out there and to get involved in his shenanigans so that he can suck them into the beast, see. But God is calling his church out from among them and calling us into the garden, into this place of fellowship where Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn for us to be able to have relationship with God and to be able to have that intimacy. He's calling us to intimacy. Because the wolf is going to growl and the storms are going to rage, you see. And it's just the way it is, you know. So I just thank the Lord this morning for getting us ready and transitioning us in 2024. You know, for what's about to hit the earth. And preparing us and leading us and guiding us into all the truth, you know. And so I hope that really encourages you guys about 2025, because I know we can look at it, you know, and really go into a depression sort of, you know, just by looking at what the beast has in store, because it is overwhelming, you know. And even now we have fiber internet put in our street. And I've been waiting 2 years for this to come in. So excited, you know. But God brought it to my attention right before I'm getting ready to sign on the dotted line to bring it into the office where I can really have, you know, mamma jamma knock it out, you know, online. But the Lord revealed to me this week through the Zoom and the other prayer calls that people are getting sick from this stuff out here, you know, from the fiber lines and the radiation that oozes off of it. And so then I did some research on it and found out, oh my goodness, you're kidding. It does. Oh, this is terrible. You know, so I told Dennis, you know, I don't want anything to do with that, Dennis. Because I have this little office. It's a 12 by 40. And it would just have me in like a microwave oven. Because what happens is when the fiber lines comes into your breaker box, okay, because it's through the electric company, it then infects everything in the house. Is now beast mode, you know. And it's actually made of glass in there. So this is how they can shoot lasers and stuff through there. Remember what happened to me at the office? I think that's what that was laser. I mean, fiber internet. That's how they was able to attack me the way they did. And then do you remember when I got that internet there in Parsons where I just had that office for a few months. And it was fiber internet. And they had, I got 300 meg. And it was so powerful, you know, from the router that I had to send it back. I told them that hurts me. I mean, even from day one, my ears were buzzing. Tingling in my ears, my heart racing. I said, no, I'm not going to sit by this. So anyways, the point is that we decided together that, you know, we're not going to go down that road. There's a reason God is saying get out of the metaverse, because it's getting too unsafe with radiation, you know, which is really sad when you think about what they're doing to the earth. But we're not here very much longer, so we just have to endure to the end. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. The Lord knows what we're all going through, and he knows where we live. And, you know, he knows how to get us to the other side. So there's that. So I'm going to stick with the way we're doing the ministry now. And this is just how it's going to be. I have satellite, which is very low latency, but at least I can do stuff like this. So I'm just fine. So we're going to still do, we're just going to keep it the way it is. The prayer calls and the Zooms, and I'll build the Bible college around it, you know. So there's that. And then the next thing is I am going on vacation today. I see Miss Martha. Let me write down your phone number, Martha, while I'm thinking about it, because I'm going to call you when I get done, because I am headed to your house, but it will be tonight before I get there, probably later, because my son, Andrew, called me, and he does want to see me, so I am going to be able to see my kids and my grandkids this week. I'm excited. So I'm going to go spend some time in Nashville. He said, how much time can you give me today? I said, whatever y'all want to give. You know, give me your time. Now, Martha, I'm going to tell you, I am going to stay the night with you. So if you can give me a little time in the morning, you know, I can stay with you and spend some really good quality time in the morning. But today, I'm going to, you know, spend time with them, and then it takes me about 5 hours to get to you. So, but anyway, so I am headed down to Atlanta, so I'll be gone a few days. And I did put a post up on Band that the prayer calls, they will be where y'all can get on there and talk, but I don't know if I'll be able to get on there because it depends. If I'm at somebody's house like Martha, you know, I'm not going to set aside. I'm going to spend time with them while I'm on vacation. But anyway, we have Thanksgiving this week. And I want to tell you as the church that I am very excited on one side on how the ministry is growing. Because the devil told me, I just know it was the devil, that when I got off YouTube, this ministry was going to die. That people was not going to accept the, you know, the changes and whatnot. But the Lord is showing me otherwise, you know. The website is just booming with people coming to find out what's going on. So I did make everything open there, and I'm just going to let the cards fall where they may. They did just announce in the government the other day that they're going to come after nonprofits that spoke against the government. And they're so I do know that, you know, I will have a price to pay. But I'm just going to be me and be a watchman, you know, and when I see things, I'll tell you about it. You know, it's just I'm not a White House correspondent anymore, but I'm always a watchman. You know, and when I see stuff, I'm going to tell you. Because this morning, Dennis asked me, he said, can you fix this for me on the phone? So I look on the phone and discover, oh my goodness, look at this setting that they just added on the phone. You know, terrible. So I put it on Patreon. Immediate warning. Look on your phone and get this off there. This I did a show on this, you know, type of deal. Another thing I want to warn you about real quick is I just want to tell you guys that I don't trust anything having to do with technology. There's a lot of, you know, people and ministers and stuff that are pushing medicine full of technology, and they're saying it's breakthrough, it activates your cells, and it's just like X39. Such a farce. People, why can't you see what this is? But people just don't know, you know, what we know about technology. So I wouldn't take any of that when it says it will rejuvenate your cells and make your skin younger. Yeah, because what are those little nanobots doing in there? I mean, this is what that is. I don't trust it. So I'm just telling you now, you know, please don't ever come in the ministry trying to sell any of that stuff. You know, we're just going to have to trust that Jesus is our healer, you know, in this hour. So anyways, I just have one song on my heart this morning, then I'm going to open it up to Pastor because he has something very special for you guys today. God has been dealing with his heart this week about it, and I'm just so thankful for our pastor, you know, that it is somebody that just truly loves and soaks up the word. I can't wait for him to get his office out in the she shed where he can, you know, have a good organized space for him and God. That's going to be his little man cave over there, you know. But I truly honor him and I will miss him this week. He's going to stay here on the farm and take care of everything. And that's one thing I love about Dennis is he lets me be me. Like, if I'm traveling and he knows that I'm going to go see my family, there is no time limit on me. He doesn't boss me around or, you know, like most women fear when you marry somebody, you know. He doesn't do that. He allows me, hey, if you have an opportunity to spend real time with them, stay a few days. You know, he don't care. So I'm very thankful for that, you know, that I have this time and opportunity to travel because I have one kid in Nashville I'm going to see first. Then I'm going to Atlanta to see the other one, you know, and that's a whole trip. And then I'd like to run up and see my daughter if I can, you know. So I can be gone 4 or 5 days, but he don't care. And I'm very grateful for that. And that is through Thanksgiving. So, but we're doing our Thanksgiving thing on December 14th is where we're inviting all the family to come in. So there is a set appointed time for us to do our turkey and Thanksgiving deal. Okay, so the song that I have on my spirit is called Our God is an Awesome God. Because this week when we was on one of our prayer calls, we read Brock's book. That's one thing I'm going to talk to him about when I'm down there is his books. But we was reading the first chapter of his book called Heaven Awaits Your Expression. And the way that he described heaven and the throne blows you away. It's like, wow, this is so amazing. I just can't even imagine. I mean, he said that the colors that he saw, there are not even words he could think of in his mind on how to even describe the colors. Can you imagine? And then he talked about seeing all the cities. There's cities up there. And so we was all laughing about it on the prayer call. You know, we was saying, wouldn't it be cool if we could all live on the same street in the same city? But anyway, so thinking about what an awesome place that we have ahead makes all of these things that we're all going through very small, doesn't it? Because soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Isn't that awesome? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, He's an awesome God. Isn't he awesome? He's so big, Brad. You know, the world only wants us to think that he is so little, but he's not. He is a really big God, and he can take care of us. Hello, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everybody.
Wow. You have really good audio. This is wonderful.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, let me pray for you, Pastor, before we get started. Lord, we just all pray for Pastor this morning as he brings the word. And we pray the anointing on him, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Lord, all that you have deposited into him, Lord, we thank you for releasing that into your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sir, you got the floor.
Okay. Once again, good morning, everybody. And we had a chilly, frosty morning here in West Tennessee, but nothing compared to what is coming. I guess they say we're going to have a hard winter, but it'll be what it'll be. And I've been using that phrase to June for quite some time now here. It seems like every couple of days, three or four times a day, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, we all know what we're looking up against somewhat, what's coming, the tumultuous times, and the deception is just massive. And just like God's word says, it's going to be, if there's any deceivableness, people will be deceived. And like she said, you know, you just can't trust anything. And I thought that the other day, just in my quiet time, I was thinking, you know, you just can't trust nothing on TV. Nothing, you know, just, you know, we can only trust the Lord and his word. And you know, we probably got a small handful of people that we can trust in our lives. You know, I could look at one hand and probably that's about it. So anyway, with all these troubling times and different things that everybody's going through, and you know, I hope this message is going to address that a little bit. You know, we have to be fully persuaded, you know, that there's nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And that's kind of the message today. Persuaded. Are you persuaded? And I'm going to read Romans 8, if you want to turn to there already. But when I was reading this and pondering it, going through verse by verse slowly, it's like, and I can't remember where I was at it, in what verse, but what come to me is, you know, we have, and this is interesting, that June chose the song Awesome God. You know, we have to be fully persuaded that our God is an awesome God. I love that song. It's one of my favorites, especially by Rich Mullen. And, you know, we have to be persuaded that. And this is on one of the first things I made note of, the power to overcome what? And the question there, you know, once again, we're all going through things, you know, what are you going through now? You know, what are you going to be going through? You know, what are you going to be going into? You know, that's coming upon us in 2025, you know. So the more I think about this, you know, we have to have a real change of mind. You know, we must have a change in this carnal mind thinking. You know, we have to be fully persuaded that our God is an awesome God. And then, you know, he's going to get us through things. And even though we're all, like I think last week I expressed this through, you know, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we mustn't fear no evil. So we have to be fully persuaded, you know. And in Romans 8, and what I was doing is I was reading a devotion of mine for November 14th. That was my birthday, and I was reading that again, and that led me to, well, I want to know the context of these two verses in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And so I just started from the beginning. Actually, I went into chapter 7 a little bit, but main focus was chapter 8 in Romans. But in Romans 38 and 39, you know, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us," that's us, bride, "from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. You know, we've just really got to get this carnal thinking, you know, under control. We got to be more convinced now than ever, persuaded than ever.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes.
It is breaking up real bad, so I'm going to have you call in. If you can go get the house phone, don't turn it on yet, and then I'm going to call, and then I'll tell you when to turn it on. Hold on. Sorry, Brian. Breaking up a little bit over here, but I guess it's really bad for them, so let me
sounds let great me here
all right, let me ask everybody. Oh, you have no problem with the audio, Stephanie? What about some of you other ones? Can you text me and let me know if it's bad for y'all? Well, I guess, let me call. Okay, Pastor, you can pick up the phone.
Okay, I got it on. Am I good?
Muted.
Okay, now talk.
I am talking. I'm getting feedback.
I know it.
echoing.
It must be because you had that other one open.
Okay, you want me to shut it off?
Yeah, hey, push that. Well, I've got it on mute over there, but can you take that page down?
How do you do that?
Close that tab, in other words.
Just go up to the corner and hit X.
Yeah, go ahead. That'll work.
Okay.
All right, how's that?
All right. Is that good?
Oh, much better. Much better.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Forgot where I was, but anyway, so we just must be persuaded, you know, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And, you know, we have to get a more of a change of mind. So anyway, let's just start with verse 1 in chapter 8 of Romans. And we're just going to read down through it. And when I get done with this chapter, I want to read that this devotion that brought me to this. And, you know, in chapter 7 of Romans, you know, it's about the law and sin, you know, the problem with the indwelling sin, the struggle of, you know, the two natures. You know, and it's interesting this in chapter 7. Let's see here, where was it? Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, and who is that, you know? That's why we have to trust in the Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ, Lord, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But anyway, let's start with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, and we've been expressing that lately too, you know, how we have to be led by the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You know, Jesus was our sacrifice for sin. You know. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you know, we all I know here, want to please God. And we all battle with fleshly things in our life. I know I have my battles, and I know Mama does, and we all do. But if we strive to do better and we acknowledge those things to the Lord, you know, He is faithful and He forgives us, you know, and he will, I believe, the harder we strive to be more like the Lord and dig into His Word and we want change, we want truth, you know, He will lead us more and more by the Spirit of truth. Verse 9, but we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, it's because of the Holy Spirit, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that, you know, we can overcome. You know, and like I was saying at the beginning here, you know, the power to overcome what? That what is what each one of us is going through right now. Our minds are worrisome or anxious or in fear of what's, you know, we're going to have to go through. Or what's coming, you know. You know, by His Spirit which dwells in us, we can be overcomers. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And when I read that, I thought, wow. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. And I had to look that word up and to get more of it. What is he saying here is, you know, we have no obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. Right? We're not obligated to the flesh. We're obligated, you know, to the Spirit. We're obligated to the Lord. So we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So then, you know, we owe the flesh nothing. It has no more control of our lives. We must not live in the sins of the flesh, or we shall surely die, you know. But if we put to death the practices of the flesh by the Spirit, we shall live. Galatians 5:16-26, you can get more on that. Colossians 3:5-10, you can get more on that also, and I would urge you to read the context of those. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. So right now, Father God, I just thank you that each one of us will be led by the Spirit of God. For they are the sons and daughters of the living God. That's God with the big G, not the God of this world. So Father, I thank you for your Spirit to lead and guide one of us in these times that we're going through. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's one of my favorite verses. Because way back when I first got born again, when I read that, I highlighted it. I'm using the same Bible that I used some 25, 30 years ago, I guess it was. But that spirit of adoption, you know, whereby we cry, you know, that's where we can go, Dad. Abba means our dad, our father. It just makes it more personal. He is, you know, our God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, we're all going through some things. We're all going to suffer some things. And right now, you know, between the prayer calls, emails, letters, we know people are suffering. People are going through things right now. But that's why, like I was saying last week, you know, we have to look to eternity. We have to look up and know what? That our redemption draws nigh. You know, we're joint heirs with Christ. You know, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Ooh, amen to that. And that word reckon, I had to look that up. For I reckon, it means established by counting, our calculation, consider or regard in a specific way. And for me, when I look up words that you think you know what they mean, but when you look them up and you read the definition, it just gives you more insight to that whole scripture. You know, he's establishing by counting, he's calculating, you know, considering and regarding the sufferings of this present time. So each one of us, you know, we need to consider it, to think about the things you're going through or the things that we are maybe coming upon us. Calculating, oh, okay, I see this coming. Just like when we found out about this fiber internet, oh boy, now we're considering, do we really want that? You know, we're doing calculating in our mind. Well, if we get it, what's the consequences of it? You know, what's going to happen if we do bring that into the home or into the office? It's bad enough. It's just going across the other side of the street, roughly, you know, 100 feet away or so. And June did the research on that, and it says that the line going by you can put out radiation up to 300 feet. So we are going to be getting some of that radiation. So we're calculating, we're considering, okay, what's our options? You know, what are we going to do? And that's what he's saying here. Only he's saying is that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when we're redeemed. Each one of us are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Jesus died on that cross for us. for all our sufferings and all that we're going to go through, sin, sickness, disease, and calamity, all the fire darts of the devil are void from operating against us. Amen, in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray this for each one of us right now. Verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, that's our whole body. The earnest manifestation of the creature. Not just us, but the creature in whole, humanity. We're all just waiting. You know, that's our whole soul, mind, will, and emotions are anxiously looking, waiting. What are we waiting for? I think it's we're waiting for the removal of the curse of the law. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I just want to praise the Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. And when I read that, I thought, huh. Who you got your hope in today? Is it in man? Is it in some man or some woman or that's going to come save us? Going to save the day. Here I come to save the day. Going to save this country from the evil that's about it. No. You know, this creature was made subject to what? To vanity. Excessive pride in oneself, you know, and how you look or your bank account or whatever. No, vanity is emptiness, wickedness, you know, being consumed by others' opinions of ourselves rather than concerning ourselves with the opinion of God. You know, we're all almighty about ourselves. You know, what I look like, what everybody else thinks I, who I am and what I am, instead of what God thinks about us. You know, the cares of this world are more important than those of God. Vanity. Verse 21. Well, anyway, let's go back here. Are subject to vanity. And that word subject to vanity, and I had to look up that, subjected. Cause or force to undergo. So, are we forced to undergo some particular experience, a form of our treatment? Are we forced to, or caused to, vanity? For our hope? No. They can force us to try and do this and do that, but, you know, we each have to make up our own mind what way we're going to go. Because our hope is in the Lord. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, all creation. You know, someday is going to be delivered from this corruption. Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Just groaneth and travaileth. You know, that's labor. That's hardships of life. You know? You know, and when we get the emails and in the prayer call and phone calls of people who are going through, you know, all these things that, and I know each one of you know what I'm talking about, you know, it affects us. We sit here and we're saddened because we know what so many of you out there are going through. Maybe it's your families too going through things and you don't know how to help them. You know? And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves. You know, we're groaning with you, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. This adoption refers to the change of our bodies from mortality to immortality. Praise the Lord, huh? I can't wait. You know, I've have some issues I'm dealing with, and they're all from old accidents that I guess as you get older they flare up on you, and so you deal with them. But it's like, come quickly, Lord. Can't wait till you get here, praise the Lord. Just like one is adopted from one family to another, saints are to be adopted with incorrupt bodies into the family of mortal beings, into the family of God. We are the children of the Lord, amen. That's like verse 21, glorious liberty of the children of God. We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, verse 21. Amen. Whew. And I'm sure each one of us just can't wait for that to happen. And I know I am. 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. And I was just talking about that hope. You know, hope that is seen is not hope. You know, we hear and we see, you know, on TV or the internet or YouTube or whatever, all these people talking about how we're going to be saved from this world or from the corruptness of this government or whatever. That's not hope. If you've got your hope in that, you are greatly deceived. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? You darn right. We have to wait with patience for the Lord. You know? The scriptures after scriptures saying that we're going to go through rough times. We're going to suffer, right? We're going to be, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we got to, even though we're going through the sufferings, we have to do it with patience. Verse 26, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's why we need to be praying more in the Spirit, more according to God's Word, and not just vain prayers. You know, we got to really seek the Lord and in His Word and pray in the Spirit. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. May the will of the Lord be done. That's our model around here. You know, we really got to trust the Spirit and trust God's Word. And Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And I did a message a while back on that. We're all, you know, if you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus, you've been predestinated. I believe you were called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified.
Ooh.
Amen. But what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, who's coming against you? What's coming against you? Well, we have a mighty God. We have an awesome God that can help us. 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. You know, these the things of this world that come against us and try and prick our hearts and prick our minds with, you know, condemnation or whatever it might be. No. You know, God will, He's our justifier. Who is He that condemneth? Not any man. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Amen.
Woo.
Lord, we just thank You right now that as we read Your Word and we ponder about Your Word, Lord, we just thank You, Lord. You know each one who's hearing this message, who's listening now, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that You would make intercession for them, for each of us right now, Lord, that we can get through the things of this world and to not have this carnal mind thinking, but to be more in the Spirit, more in tune with You, Lord God. So we thank You, Lord, for Your prayers for each of us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's trying to separate us? The things of this world, whatever it could be, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? That word sword, I think that's war. We hear rumors of wars, don't we? I think it's more what we have. It's a war against our soul. I did a message, was it last week or so, on that word peril. Go back and listen to that. I mean, because that's just that one word means a lot of things. There's a lot of things coming against us, trying to separate us from the love of Christ. But nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Amen. As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Through who? Through Jesus Christ, who loved us. He loves each one of us so much. He'd come to this earth. And look what he went through. He was spitted on, hair pulled. I mean, look at all that he went through for us on that road to Calvary. To hang on that cross for each one of us. He loved us so much. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And amen. And with that being said, now what I want to do is I want to turn to this devotion that I was... And this devotion is from Romans 8, the last two verses that I just read, 38 and 39. And it's interesting because I think I might have even shared this with you guys before, but in this devotion here, it looks like 7 or 8 times I've got it dated where I have read over this, pondered this devotion, because it's so powerful. So that's what I want to do. I just want to read this devotion, and we're going to... think about this, I guess. So, in this devotion, I can't show you the book, but I know I've showed you this book before. It's from Rick Renner, Sparkling Gems from the Greek. 365 Greek Word Studies for Every Day of the Year to Sharpen Your Understanding of God's Word. I just really love this book. You know, it dives into to the words, you know, it makes, you know, more word, more power, I always say. And so when you got more word, more power, and you think and ponder on it more, and then you pray your words, I think they're more effective. I think God will bless those prayers more. Amen. So I'm going to read this. The title of this, Nothing Shall Separate You from the Love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the Apostle Paul wrote the above verses, he had been facing grueling times. Because he was a Christian. He was a believer. He had suffered rejection from friends, persecution from the government, and he had spent many months of his life in an isolated prison cell. But regardless what people or circumstances of life did to him, Paul had discovered a vital truth. And this is the truth that we need. Nothing that occurs in this life has the power to separate a believer from the love of God. That is why Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice that Paul said, for I am persuaded. The word persuaded in Greek means to be persuaded, to be convinced, or to be swayed from one opinion to another, held by another. This word describes a person who has been coaxed from a particular conviction to embrace a different one. Furthermore, the Greek tense implies that this persuasion that had occurred to Paul in the past, but is still so strong that it continues to be his conviction in the present. He was persuaded, he continues to be persuaded. It could therefore be translated, for I have been persuaded and I remain convinced. Amen. We have to convince ourselves that this word is true. The word death is the Greek word thanatos, the Greek word for physical death. It can also be used to depict mortal danger, a dangerous circumstance, like what we're talking about everybody could be going through. In this case, Paul's primary meaning is that the love of God is so strong, even physical death cannot separate us from his divine love. Death may separate us from the earth and from people we love, but it is impossible for death to separate us from the love of God. For God's love doesn't stop with the sensation of life. It is in fact that many believers feel overwhelmed by the situations they face in life. In fact, they often feel so confused and weighed down that they wonder if God is still near them. This is precisely why Paul adds that even life cannot separate a believer from the love of Jesus Christ. Whew. Amen. Yes. Just as the word thanatos describes physical death, this particular word for life, the Greek word zoe, refers to physical life. Paul used this word to let us know that neither the sensation of one's physical life, nor complex issues and even events related to one's life on earth, this earth, are strong enough to separate a believer from the love of God. Next, Paul lets us know that no spiritual being, good or bad, has enough power to separate from God's love, separate us from God's love. The word angels is the Greek word angelos, which refers to brilliant, spiritual, angelic beings. Such angelic beings are extremely strong, as is evident by hundreds of scriptures in both the Old and New Testament. Think about that, Bride. We know of some of these angelic beings, these angels, man, they're strong. I mean, these evil angelic beings, but they will not separate us from the love of God. The word principalities is from the word archania. This is the same word that Paul uses in Ephesians 6:12, where he describes the rank and file of the devil's kingdom. This word is the plural for archanos, the Greek word for a ruler or one who has long held a lofty position of power. The plural version of this word depicts an entire group of high-ranking demon spirits that have their position of power since the most of ancient times. Although angels and demonic powers are indeed strong, they are not strong enough to disconnect a believer from God's love. And I'm saying amen, amen. Paul also mentions powers. This is taken from the word dunamis, which is in the Greek word that sometimes depicts the powerful governments of men. Certainly Paul had been arrested, bound, and restricted by evil governments on many occasions, but none of these actions were ever sufficiently powerful enough to separate him from the love of God. A jail cell may have separated Paul from other believers. However, even the deepest, darkest, most gruesome prison cell, Paul tangibly personally experienced the love of God. And I think that's what each one of us really, really want. We really, groan and travail. If we just, we're all going through some trying times, let's just say. We just want tangibly to feel the person, God, his love. That just would pick our spirits up that way, when we're so down and out. In addition to these points, Paul has already mentioned, he uses the phrase things present to let us know that nothing that currently exists is able to prevent a person from experiencing God's love. These words, these present, are things present, are derived from the Greek word enestimai, the compound of words en and histamine. The word en means in, and the word histamine means to stand. Thus, when the two words are joined to form the word, the new word describes something that is presently standing in its place. In this case, it means nothing presently existing, nor nothing that currently stands, is sufficient to separate a believer from the all-powerful presence of God's love. Hallelujah. But Paul doesn't stop with the things that presently exist. He goes on to say that things to come, as we can all see, are not able to separate a believer from the love of God. The Greek word used here is from the word melio, and it describes events that will occur in the future. These are things that haven't happened yet, but will take place in the days and years to come. Paul has already said that nothing currently existing is strong enough to separate a believer from the love of God. Now he boldly declares that nothing will ever happen in the future that will contain enough power to hinder a believer from knowing and experiencing God's love. And that God's love, that, experience that we all want is what gets us through that thinking of eternity. That's what's going to pull us through these tough times. As he continues, Paul also declares that neither height nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That word height is the Greek word hupsamo, which expresses the notion of something that is overhead. It would include anything that is lofty, such as the sky and the heavens above. The word depth is the word bathos, the Greek word that expresses the notion of something that is exceedingly deep, like the deepest, darkest parts of the sea. Now, Paul uses these illustrations to say that nothing in the sky or in the deepest parts of the earth has the power to keep ones of God's children from knowing and experiencing his love. Amen. To make sure absolutely everything is included in this comprehensive list, Paul adds any other creature to the list. The word creature is the Greek word katesis, and it category refers to all created things in both the physical and spiritual worlds. So absolutely nothing in either of these spheres shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The word shall be able is from the word dunamai, which describes strength, capacity, and ability. The word separate is the Greek word kerozio, meaning to surrender, to sever, to disunite, to tear apart, to disconnect, to cut off, to disengage, or to withdraw. Notice that Paul says that nothing is capable of tearing a believer from the love of God. So if we're standing on God's word, you know, just to know and trust his word that nothing, all this can separate us from the love of God. Whew, just about gives you chills. This word, which means away and implies distance, this clearly means that there is nothing that we can that can put distance between a believer and his heavenly Father. Hallelujah. So in light of the meanings of these Greek words in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, it is imperative translation of this verse could read, and here in this devotion, I put my name, and it's dated. What's the date here? 11/17/2016. But I put my name here where it says I. So each one of you, when I read this, I'll read this slow, and you can just read it after me. I, Dennis Weir, have been persuaded that I remain convinced that neither death nor the complications that often arise in life, nor powerful angelic beings, nor even an entire group of high-ranking demonic spirits, nor anything that currently exists, nor anything that could potentially happen in the future, nor any political power, nor anything in the highest heavens, nor anything that...
Hey, honey.
Yes?
Do you mind starting over and slowing down a little bit? Because I'd like to be able to repeat it.
Okay.
Yeah, just slow it down a little bit. Thank you.
Or I could just read it, and then there's a prayer after that that you could follow up after me. Either way. Okay. I, Dennis Weir, have been persuaded... Are you going to repeat this, or?
Yes, let's do it again.
Okay. I, Dennis Weir, have been persuaded.
I, June Weir, have been persuaded.
And I remain convinced.
And I remain convinced.
That neither death.
That neither death.
Nor the complications that often arise in life.
Nor the complications that often arise from life.
Nor powerful angelic beings.
Nor powerful angelic beings.
Nor even an entire group of high-ranking demonic spirits.
Or even a group of high-ranking demonic spirits.
Nor anything that currently exists.
Nor anything that currently exists.
Nor anything that could potentially happen in the future.
Nor anything that could happen in the future.
Nor any political power.
Any political power.
Nor anything in the highest heavens.
Or anything in the highest heavens.
Nor anything that resides in the deepest depths.
or anything that resides in the deepest depths,
or anything that has ever been created,
or an ending that's ever been created,
is capable of disconnecting us.
Is capable of disconnecting us
from the love of God.
From the love of God.
Or putting any distance between us.
Or putting any distance between us.
And the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
From the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So, you know, never forget this message Paul proclaimed. Nothing in this world has enough power to disconnect us from the love of God. No angel, no demon, no government, no creature, and no mistake of your own making will ever be able to, is capable of cutting you off from the love of God. God's love is greater than man will ever be able to comprehend. It reaches to the highest mountain. It penetrates to the lowest parts of the earth. Regardless of what you are facing in life today, God's love is with you, and nothing will ever be able to disconnect you from this awesome, powerful, all-consuming love. Amen. So, anyway, that's that. And my prayer, this prayer is, Lord, we are so thankful for your love that never fails us and never deserts us. We are filled with gratitude that nothing in this world has the power to disconnect us from your awesome, powerful, life-changing love. In the moments when we feel overwhelmed by circumstances or problems, we ask that you give us special awareness of your unfailing love in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what I have for today.
All right, I do want to clarify that, you know, we're definitely not saying once saved, always saved, you know, because you could kind of take that as, you know, you can never sin enough to get away from God, you know.
Right.
But we definitely.
I don't believe that doctrine either. So.
Yeah.
Only God knows our hearts. And so we just pray that this is all from the heart, and you know that, you know, you're all saved, you know. Just once saved,
yeah.
Always saved. You know, nobody knows that for sure except God, and that's why, you know, you have to pray these with a prayerful heart and really seek the Lord. And if you don't think you're saved, well, then you need to really get in your prayer closet and you know, be talking to the Lord. Amen.
Well, you think about this end time scenario, you know, these people that think I can take anything and do anything because nothing will separate me from his love. Do you
right.
see what I mean?
Right.
There are some dangerous doctrines out there in this day.
Yeah. Well, even still, though, you know, you things might separate our, oh, how do I want to say this? You know, God still loves you, even in your sin. He just,
yeah.
You have to make that choice that Jesus died on that cross for you. And he died, was buried 3 days and rose again and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you have to do everything in your power to live a holy life before him. You know?
Yeah.
So you can't think that all just, you know, if you willingly sin thinking that this scripture means, okay, well, nothing can separate me, but you willingly sin, then I think there's a problem here.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that because you could assume that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Denise brought up a good point. God had to look away from Jesus because of sin. Another reason I think that God had to look away is because of what was going to happen to Jesus when he took on that sin. I mean, that one church did a really good visual showing how all the demons, when Jesus was on the cross, they all flew to Jesus because he accepted it all and he took it all that sin upon himself. And they showed like a literal where demons just flew over to him, you know, when he took it. It was pretty cool. But anyway, thank you so much, Pastor. It was an awesome sermon. I have been taking notes for the website, so we have good notes on there today from your sermon, so we thank you so much.
Okay.
And we do want to thank you guys for mailing him birthday cards. He's enjoyed those birthday cards.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes. All right. Would you pray for everybody, sir, and then we'll get off here.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word will encourage each of us to know you more, to know your love, Lord, that you are with us in our times of troubles and even in our good times, that you're always with us, Lord. And that we need to seek you, Lord, more and more each day in these troubling times that we're coming into, Lord. And I pray that the will of the Lord will be done in everybody's life. Not our will, not some man's will, but your will, Lord.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord, for your word. And we just thank you, Lord, that your spirit will encourage us and lead us and guide us in the ways pleasing to you, Lord, in the light of truth, Lord, because that truth is what sets us free from the ways of this world, Lord. And I pray that no sickness, sin, disease, calamity, and all the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bride, I just want to let y'all know that I am packing the truck up and getting ready to leave. Thank you guys for, loving us and being with us through this transition. And I am truly, truly excited to see what God's going to do in us as a body. And I do love our prayer calls every morning. We have so many people. I just cannot believe. We used to only have one or two people on there a day. Now we have minimum 20 people a day. So I'm excited about it, because people are realizing that we need each other more than ever now to be together in unity like this. So I will talk to you guys later, and I'll see you live probably somewhere. God bless. Thank you, sis. Thank you.